We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Which sin did Jesus come down on the hardest? We're going to talk about that in a sermon this Sunday. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we live in your word, we understand what St. Paul meant when he said, all of us have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We realize also, Heavenly Father, that one sin is very, very grievous to you and perhaps cannot be compared to the next. And yet we pray that you will give us some insights into what perhaps was that sin that you came down on the hardest. Help us to understand that some of those sins that we think of so lightly are in your mind the worst. Bring us into a conviction of that sin and lead us to the throne of grace, that there we may receive mercy in our time of need. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our teacher. This is our prayer. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, beginning at verse 38. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues, and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Then Jesus sat down opposite the place where his offerings were put and watched the crowds putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, But a poor widow came and put in 2 pieces of copper coins. They were worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in everything, all that she had to live on. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of
Friends in Christ. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have a question that I would like to ask today, and that is, from the standpoint of the Bible, what sin did Jesus come down on the hardest? Now, I can hear someone say, well, that has to be the sins of sex. And it is understandable that we would answer that way because many sins of sex are recorded in our newspapers and talked about on our television and radio on a daily basis. And when one of our friends really falls into a sexual sin, we don't exactly know how to talk with him about it. So it is a sin very common in our day. Was that the sin that Jesus came down on the hardest? Well, I would not want to give the impression that he dealt with it lightly. He didn't. He visited with a woman who had been caught in prostitution, and he let her know that what she did was sin. And then after he had forgiven her, he said, go and do it no more. He talked with another lady who had had 5 husbands, and the person that she was living with was no more than a live-in. And he let her know that that was sin. He goes hard on divorce and says that it is not according to the will of God. And now you would have to say that, well, he was pretty hard on sexual sins. Was he the hardest on that one? Others may vote no. I would say that he was most concerned about the love of money. And he warned about materialism. It was he who went to Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, that which you have done stealing from your fellow men is wrong. And he worked on him hard enough that Zacchaeus had a conversion. He was turned around and his life was changed. He gave half of his goods to the poor and restored what he had stolen fourfold. It was Jesus who said that, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He talked about not money, but the love of money as being the root of all evil. So you can very well see that the Bible makes it clear that money, the misuse of money, and the worship of money can be considered a very, very bad sin, and Jesus did come down on that very hard. My vote would be one different than that. My vote would be that the sin that Jesus touched the hardest was the sin of superficiality. the sin of hypocrisy, the sin of living on the surface, as one being very shallow in his relationship with God. If there was anything that he could not stand was a faith that had no depth to it. It might be all right in the early days of the conversion. But after you have lived with the Lord Jesus for a while, there gets to be a lot of concern when we don't seem to show that we have been in his presence. I say that I think he came down on that the hardest because he spent so much time with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What sin did he spend a whole chapter just really going after the wrong of what these people were doing? And yet if you turn to Matthew 23, he is talking about the scribes and he is talking about the Pharisees. And he finally says to them, "You brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Now, many of us would not even think superficiality was really a sin. And the reason for that is that perhaps most of us have a good deal of that in our own character, and much of it in our relationship with God. There is hypocrisy there. There is superficiality there. And when we hear somebody say, and I believe on the basis of God's holy word, that superficiality is one of the greatest sins, if not the greatest one, that Jesus came down on so hard, we don't know what to say about it. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, "I want you to listen how it is important that you have depth in your relationship with me." So let's pursue that thought of a genuine faith. And as we turn to the scriptures today, which is Mark 12, if you have your Bibles open to verses 38 to 44, we'll take a look at our Lord's teaching. He was at a conference. It was being held in the temple courts. And as he stood there teaching, and the people who were following him were quite impressed with these scribes, teachers of the law, including perhaps even his 12 disciples, he said, "You watch out for these teachers of the law. Watch out for them. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make a great impression on you. You know how they're trying to do it? Well, one way is just their dress." Isn't that interesting? Don't we often like to impress people by our dress? David McKenna, writing on this very particular text, says, "It reminds me of an executive wearing a 3-piece navy blue pinstripe suit with a Phi Beta Kappa key chain across the vest." And this man says, "Wow, I really am somebody," as he looks at himself in the mirror. And the young junior executive says, "Boy, someday I hope to be like that. This man must have been brilliant. A Phi Beta Kappa key. And look at how he dresses." I know something about this. In the early years of my ministry, I purchased a clerical collar. And I wore it occasionally. I was in a kind of a rural area, and I'd put on that collar and I'd go around among the people. You know, I sensed, maybe it was psychological, I don't know, but in the eyes of the public, when I had on that collar, I was a different kind of a person. Now, I'm not criticizing my brothers and sisters who choose to wear a clerical collar. There may be some real advantages for it. But there also is the possibility of having that idea that, well, I want them to know that I am a clergy person. And here I come. Let there be no doubt about it. You know, they tell the old story. I'm from the East, as I've told you so often, that a Protestant went through a streetlight in Boston, and he had his collar on. He happened to be a Lutheran minister. And the fellow who happened to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church said, "Father, I'm going to let you go, but be careful. At the next light, the man is a Protestant." It's an old joke. I've told it often to my priest friends, and they've come back with something. So there's no accusation there against that particular church. It's just that the collar or the robe or the dress of the executive can make people open their eyes. And did those old scribes and teachers of the law like that? Another thing Jesus said, they loved their place of honor. You know, if you want to get into the synagogue, you've got to go early to get a seat. But down front, there are some that are reserved for the real prestigious people. And so these scribes wait until it's just about time for the meeting to start, and then they are ushered in with flowing robes to sit in these elect places. The people say, "Look, there are some of the leaders of the synagogue." Wow! What an education they must have. What an insight they must have into God's law. And they held them in tremendous respect. And then Jesus goes on to say, if you're still following, that these are the people who sometimes can be very dishonest. They devour, verse 40, they devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. In other words, one of the commentators that I read on this text said that they were people who helped the widow ladies with their estate planning. This was how they made their income. And so they saw to it that the estate was planned in such a way that they could get a good cut on it. And this is clergy. Clergy way back in Jesus' day. I would hurry on to say that I really believe with all my heart that the most of the clergy that I know are very committed to Jesus Christ. But I have to admit that we shouldn't become so surprised when there are sins, outward sins or inward sins, whatever you may want to call them, found in the lives of those who are ordained in the church. For I can tell you that ordination in no way whatsoever makes you pure and sanctified. That can only be done when we live in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be surprised if the behavior of some clergy, and their numbers are small percentage-wise, disappoint you with dishonesty, sexual promiscuity, or whatever the sin might be. That's just the way it is. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. And he's saying, you know, I have to come down hard on this. Because that sin of presenting yourself as one thing when you're really something else is not according to the will of God. But then he turns around and it almost seems like it's coffee break time. And while they are sitting there having their break, verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. And he watched the crowds putting their money into the temple. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a fraction of a penny. And when Jesus saw that, he was tremendously interested. So he calls together his disciples and says, "Come over here. I want to show you what true faith really is. I want to show you what a mature trust really is." He said, "See that woman over there? I tell you the truth, this poor lady has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of wealth." And it isn't that they did wrong. Not at all. They needed those large sums of money to make the synagogue go. There's no question about that. But Jesus says, you know, they all gave out of their wealth. But she, out of her poverty, she gave everything. And I don't know how far we carry that in our day. That's not the point now. What Jesus is after is that true Christianity continually is shed of superficiality. And he wanted the disciples to know that. He wanted them to know that it's when Jesus Christ grabs the heart that you see real changes in the life. It isn't dress. It isn't places of prestige. It isn't a lot of education. But it's that relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, that draws us ever closer to him. And we sing, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Deepen my convictions, God. Help me to live in a personal relationship with you. Give me the discipline to take my Bible and to sit down 15, 20, 25 minutes a day and just let you pour your message into my heart, that the Holy Spirit, working through that word, may draw me ever closer to you. Friend, let me tell you, it is only the mature faith that can stand the storms of life. That is, through living with the Lord and his word and with his people, as you go through the tests of life and see that the promises of God are ever there, they're true. Being reminded then, from time to time of our superficiality, we pray to God, O God, strengthen my faith. For Christianity on the surface will never weather the storm of life. Let me give you an example, and there are tremendous examples of people who are strong in their faith. I'll give you two of them in closing. Here, a few Saturday nights ago, I attended a conference in our town that was put on by the Navigators. I was invited to go to a large auditorium. And there in that auditorium, there were seated 1,400 university students from around here in the Midwest. They had come to listen to one of America's great preachers, John Piper. As John Piper talked to them about the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ and imputed righteousness. And then he went on and gave them the challenge to give their lives to the Lord Jesus in whatever way that he wanted them to serve him. When I walked out of there that night and I saw those young people, I thought, the church is not dead. God is not only calling them into a relationship with him, but God is strengthening and deepening their faith. And they will be our leaders one day, thank God. The other illustration is my very, very good friend, Pastor Paul Nordstrom. He at one time was my co-worker on the staff at Nazareth Church. Now, Paul Nordstrom has taught me more since his sickness than perhaps even before, and he was a good pastor. Pastor Nordstrom has just had his second bone marrow transplant. And we've been praying hard, and they've been very difficult days. In his email letter to a few of us the other day, he said, it's kind of hard. I know the doctors can do no more than they're doing. I understand that. But I go to them, and they say, well, everything is okay so far, but we're going to have to see what it's going to be 2 weeks or a month from now. And the 2 weeks and a month seems so long to wait. For here's a man who is anxious to get on with his work in his own parish and do the work of Jesus Christ. He just has to wait. Paul Nordstrom's faith is in Jesus Christ. Rooted, grounded, not superficial, real, true. That's what Jesus is talking about. And when we try to get by with a superficial faith, friend, it just doesn't work. Not when the going gets rough. let Christ take you and deepen you in your relationship with Him. Amen.
Have thine own way.
God, this is our prayer, that you will take our heart and consecrate it to you. You have brought us into your kingdom by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we grow in that faith. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit organization that operates from the financial support of those who have been helped and those who want to join with us in reaching others. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month, GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Our contributions are truly special in this important ministry. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.